Coming up on Super Boothers, Ryan and I discuss whether we think the customer is always right or not. Stay tuned.
Super Boothers. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Ismail. Ryan.
Yes.
What are we doing today?
I don't know. I don't care anymore.
Oh, no. Ryan is hungry, ladies and gentlemen.
Please, I am hangry.
Please bear with me.
But that's all right. We have food coming. Today we are talking about...
Customers.
Customers. And how they are generally not always right.
So there's a big thing where everyone's heard it, the customer's always right.
Who said that? Like, where did that originate from?
I don't know. I think it just gets passed down.
Wasn't that like a McDonald's thing?
Generation to generation, and people just blindly follow it.
No.
Stop. So we're going to be talking about that today. Whether you believe the customer is always right, or you think that is just totally wrong.
Hooey. I don't think it's... I have had plenty of instances where... I think you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Oof. Speak.
If you just say yes to everything. I say yes to everything. It's yes and. Never say yes but. Yes and. Where's that? So you know the soap in Target method?
No.
So there's a specific soap where they created, like, they spent all this money on, like, having, like, a bottle designer. So, like, all their bottles, like, look really cool. So, like, the hand soap looks like a teardrop. And, like, the dish soap looks like a, I don't know, it's all, like, very, like, nice and architectural. There is a book about it. It's called The Method Method. And it's how they have, like, it's their whole business story about how they created, like, such a, like, a disruption in the soap industry, like, if that's a thing.
But their thing is just the design? That's what's different?
Yeah. I mean, yes, it's all, like, organic. It's all traceable. I'm pretty sure it came from some, I don't know, soap tree or whatever that was... ethically harvested. I don't know, whatever. The whole point of it is how, like, they disrupted an industry that had previously not been disrupted. Like, who'd have thought you could disrupt the soap industry?
Yeah.
You know? So what they talk about is how they never would say, it's just like the attitude about it. So there's, like, it's in one of, like, the, like, I think, like, the third chapter. It's whenever you're having a conversation with someone or having a meeting with someone, don't say yes, but. So if you say, like, a statement, like, hey, we should do this, yes, but, if I respond like that, that's the but is the negative. So you're not being productive in that conversation. So if you make a comment and you say something and I say, yes, and, you're adding to whatever, not subtracting, because the but negates whatever you just said. So anyways, so the point that I'm getting at here is the attitude, I guess, has a little bit to do with it. For example, there was one client. She called me and she was like, I hate it when girls really talk in this, like, upspeak, and they really just want, like, you don't understand them because their wedding is so important. No, I don't care. I don't care much about it.
Oh, my God.
But you've heard, everyone, if you are listening to my voice right now, you know that you've always had one client that would kind of meet that, like, description. So she calls me and she was telling
she was telling
me how, like, she had very specific instructions on what she wanted her photo booth to do. One of the comments that she made was, I want you to get there 2 hours prior. Not a problem. You're going to get charged idle time for it. Then she goes, I want you to be there 2 hours before, so you're there before the ceremony. After the ceremony is over, I want the photo booth to start. Have it go during cocktail hour. I want it to stop during dinner. I want it to continue on for another 2 hours. But she wanted the option to add on, like, an additional hour should she need it. How much would that cost me? What she wanted me to say was, I'll just charge you for the 3 hours that you're using it. Not the case.
Mm-mm.
Charge you for idle time. Charge the idle time before. So we include an hour. So I'd charge her an extra hour of idle time. Charge her regular 3 hours, charge her idle time that we're stopping during dinner. So she's paying for 3 hours plus 2 hours of idle time. And then I put in, like, the additional of, hey, here's how much your thing is going to cost. well, I'm not sure if that really fits in my budget. So, I mean, I can't help you. Like, what I really appreciate about this one is I will give you everything that you're asking me for. Yes. However, there's a cost to that. So I think that not necessarily saying the, I think that there's a happy medium of the customer is always right. The customer most definitely gets the best service. However, that doesn't necessarily equate to it being free. Mm-hmm. I think that's the caveat here.
So the reason this topic actually came up with me is because a friend of mine has a business where he sells a physical product. And just to make the long story shorter, their product was priced at a certain price point. I forgot what it was. Let's say it's, you know, $49. And after a certain point, he was able to secure a lower price from their supplier. Mm. So they got their product cheaper. Now, he had a decision to make where he either could pocket the difference
or pass it off
or pass it on to the customer. He decided to do the what he thought was the right thing for the long-term success of his business and pass the lower cost on to his customer. Sent out an email to everybody. Hey guys, great news. We have a lower price for you. And this is the reason why. Now, you would think customers would be very happy with that. And most of them were. But he had a couple customers, like one that he told me about in particular, that said, hey, you know, I've been overpaying for this product. Now it's this price. I've been paying this price in the past. You need to refund me for all the extra money I've been giving you. So basically, he took the discount as a way to say, you have to discount me for all the products I bought from you for the last few months. And this is where he started to discuss this with me, where he said he doesn't think the customer's always right. He thinks this customer's stupid. And what he did with this customer was said, here's your refund, and I'm banning you from blocking products from us ever again.
Happy. I've done that before.
So I also know other entrepreneurs that have digital businesses, like they sell courses online, and they do the same thing, where once a customer is being stupid in their words, they just block them. You can never buy from me ever again.
Bye.
You are wrong, and I don't want to deal with you anymore.
Absolutely.
So
I had
it's like a less PC way. Everyone's trying to be politically correct. Oh yeah. You're right. Sometimes you got to tell people no. You're being a jerk.
I have friends that have restaurants, and there's two stories here. So one had a burger place, and you know you get these like, and this is a general stereotype. However, an older person comes in, you know, just grumpy and set in their ways. They order their burger. The burger wasn't cooked correctly. They eat the burger. I want a refund. Screw you. I'm not giving you a refund on a burger you already ate. Get out of my store, you know? Another one that I had, my friend owned a steakhouse. Big group of 15 people. They made a big deal of, like, the reservation. Well, we couldn't get in and blah, 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 and whatever. Finally get a table. We had to wait. Okay, fine. They order. They all finished the meal. Food was great. Waiter was great. I don't even remember what she was complaining about, but it was really about something like so minute. She ends up saying, well, we're not paying for X, Y, and Z. Like, take it off my bill. The owner came over, said, I'm going to take care of this bill. You will never come in my restaurant again. Mm. I don't want your money. God, I love that.
And I think we've all had customers like that, that they're probably just difficult customers to everybody. And they try to find one thing wrong and use it as leverage to get a big discount or something free or a refund. And that's just their way of operating. That's fine. I just don't need to deal with people like that. So I actually, if I see that someone's like that in the very beginning of a booking process or during the booking process.
Shut it down.
I shut it down and I either shut it down or I just don't book them.
This just happened to me like a week ago.
Refer them to my competitors.
This sucks. So I'm busy on this one particular day, and this client sent me an email, and it was just a little low budget, at least I thought. And he goes, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. He goes, and I found this price online. Can you give it to me? Whatever, put it in the thing. Then I realized that this was like, there's like 12 events that day. And it's like, every event is massive. So it's like, I have to be everywhere. I need to minimize like more events. Like, I don't want to do this. And I leave for vacation the next day. Another one.
That's important.
Super important. So I'm going through all this and I realize like, how do I do this? He emailed back and said, oh, can we do a green screen too? Or fine, I put it in the I jacked up that price so high, he booked it.
Yep.
20 minutes later, I look at my phone. Someone has paid for their event. He paid for it in full.
Yep. I've got some contractor friends that when they don't want to take on a job, they just throw a crazy price out there, and then people still take the job.
It's called a PETA fee.
Why is that?
Pain in the ass.
Ooh! What happened to no cursing?
I can't... Whatever.
Look at you. Turn. You're just offending people.
Yes, whatever.
We're listened to in over 90 countries now, Ryan.
Be offended.
You can't offend people.
I'm going to offend people the listener, in so many different languages.
The listener is always right.
So...
I mean...
Oh!
So there's another interesting thing that I was talking to a friend of mine, and I'm trying to remember how this came up. And it basically, we're not really trying to advocate that you don't service your client, right? You still want to have good customer service. You still want to cater to your client. But this conversation actually gave me an interesting thought, which is you got to give people what they want before you can give them what they need. And the way this came up with a friend of mine, it was about everyone wants like health advice and fitness advice.
Mm.
And basically...
For free.
Not just for free. They're all about taking things away. Oh, don't eat that. Oh, you can't eat this. Or don't have this that often. It's take it away, take it away, take it away. And this person had a very interesting way of going about it where they didn't do that. They gave up front. So instead of saying, hey, don't eat this for breakfast, my friend was saying, you know what, that's fine, but before you eat that muffin, why don't you eat a little bit more of these eggs? So you eat a muffin and 3 eggs or 2 eggs, let's bump that up to 4 eggs. Eat the 4 or 5 eggs first, and then if you want the muffin afterwards, fine. So it's a psychological
maneuver. It's like a great way of handling it with kids too.
Right. And now what happens? You're getting them to eat something healthier, more protein with the eggs. But they get so full that they eat less of the muffin.
Mm.
So you don't start by saying, don't eat the muffin. It's fine. I love muffins. Just eat more eggs first. And I think that's a great way of going about. You're really giving them things that they want up front in order to give them what they really need. What do you think about that, Ryan?
I'm on board. That's a
Jedi mind trick.
I'm interested. That's another thing is... Talk about Jedi mind tricks. So there are times where, you know, you'll run into issues with... I remember we had issues with printers back then. And we couldn't do 2x6 strips, you know, whatever. Let's just say, like, we didn't have, like... This was before the 2x6 cutters actually happened. You know, we don't have scissors or whatever. And you just convince your client to do a 4x6. Whenever you have, like, or you run into a rut with anything, it's a Jedi mind trick. Whenever you give someone an option, don't take a 50-50 chance. You can say, like, oh, do you want to do this or do you want to do this? Everyone is doing this.
Yep.
And show, like, hey, this is A and B. Everyone is doing B. They don't have to know that you can't do A for whatever reason or not. Make them think that they had, you know, a choice in the situation.
And I think this, again, goes back to not... We're not saying that the customer's wrong. Don't listen to them. Don't service them. You do want to service them. And I think there's a recent example I had with you, Ryan, where we were talking about a client of mine that wanted to, without getting into too much detail, just keeping it simple, they wanted to utilize, they were like asking me, how many hashtags can we pull?
Yeah, I told you, don't do that.
And instead of saying, no, 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 my response is, listen, there's no limit to the number of hashtags we can pull. But... You encourage them to use one.
To do one.
Exactly. So
you don't need to know that you can't do more than one.
Exactly. So you're trying to service them and push them in the right direction without being no, 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 you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. It's kind of like your yes and system.
For sure. I really appreciate the Jedi mind trick of the whole thing.
I thought that was a genius move with the diet. Because everybody's telling you don't eat this, and if you want to be a vegan, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and if you want to be...
Who wants to be a vegan?
A successful business boother, don't offer this and don't offer that. And going about it by just saying, hey, you can eat whatever you want. Just eat this first. Eat this first.
There's another... actually, I think in men's health, there's a thing called eat this, not that, where like they go through... Like, hey, like, if you have to go to McDonald's, this is what you need to order. You have to go to Wendy's. And, like, they give you reasons why. So I think that if you have, like, alternative options for your client to still be satisfied with whatever it is that I guess they're trying to go for. So, for example, let's just say that, I don't know, they're doing a green screen or whatever the case may be, and you, it's always best that you make the decision for them. If they're so indecisive, just be the one to make the decision. You've seen more, you've done more.
But you got, it's a delicate balance, right? Because you, a lot of clients, some of them would love for you to just decide that for them, but some of them don't feel good when you do that.
How?
It's like, oh, you, this is my party and I want it this way. No. And so you have to.
That's a New York thing, I think.
But you got to do it in a, like, my client is a big corporate client and they wanted to do multiple hashtags. They want, how many can we do? Like, it was better to do more. So they're wrong, but you don't have to, you don't want to lose a client. You still want to have good customer service and handle it in a way where they feel like you're helping them. You're not taking away anything from them. You're just telling them how to do it in a better way. So there's plenty. I just really resonate with the thought of giving people what they want in order to give them what they need. So there's a lot of different examples about how that can happen. That health one to me is the best one.
So here's the other option. Mm-hmm. So there, in that J.K. Rowling interview that I was talking about, she has such a fan base that what she was, whenever they were writing Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is the play on Broadway in New York, or it's in New York, London, about to be in Melbourne in San Francisco.
I like how you just say Melbourne. Like, you're in Australia.
Because I'm from there. Because there are people listening to me in Australia right now that if I say Melbourne, they're going to be like, oh my God, no.
Ryan, it's, don't come back.
It's Melbourne. What, so anyways.
What were those people called? I forget what they're called. Like the outer towners, the real, anyways.
Weirdos. So J.K. Rowling was saying how people will consume whatever she gives them. She could write, so we talked about, so Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is a 5-hour play. That's a commitment to be in a theater for that long. Everyone that enjoys that series would sit there for 8 hours. You could tell that play in 10 parts and stretch it out over a week, and they would still go. So on the opposite end of this, she said that she gives them not necessarily what they want, but what she's going to give them. I'm going to give you what you need, not necessarily what you want.
That's a great example. It just reminded me of Apple.
Because this is how I would think is, you're going to give you what I give you, and you're going to love it. That's the attitude that I have, and it's just interesting to see the opposite point of view. Continue. Apple.
But it's the same thing with Apple, where if you listen to the customers, everybody wants to keep the same headphone style.
Nope.
They don't want you to change the port.
Nope.
They want to keep the CD drive. Apple is very good at – this is – they're a great example of a company – that listens to the customers, but knows when they're wrong.
Yes.
And gives them what they need. So they see these trends. And for even like Microsoft, when they first came out with the first Xbox, they put in a hard drive. They had broadband internet. A lot of people didn't have broadband internet at that time. And there was no real need to have a hard drive. But they see where the things are going, and they know what people will need.
In the Steve Jobs movie with Ashton Kutcher, I know there's two, but the one with Ashton Kutcher, he was saying how whenever they were building, I think it was like the Lisa 2, he made a big deal about fonts.
Yeah.
And everyone that worked for him was like, we
nobody
only need
cares.
One.
Yeah, nobody
like,
cares.
Why? He's like, no, like we need fonts. And that, who knew that that would change what, I mean, think about it. Like, I like actually like the joke with the Fortune 500 company that has like, a sign on a door written in Comic Sans. And then like the joke is, we're a Fortune 500 company. Why are you writing in Comic Sans? I just get a kick out of it. But it's so interesting how like they gave us what we didn't know that we wanted.
Yeah.
It's but what we needed.
Exactly. And it's kind of like when Facebook updates Facebook, everyone's like, ah,
I know.
I hate you. But they're not stupid. They're doing it for a reason.
For sure.
They've studied people's behavior. They've studied what they're using the tool for. And they're improving the tool. So that's another example of where people, if you listen to the customer, they tell you don't change it. Don't improve it. But you have to sometimes say the customer's wrong. I'm going to do this and it's going to be better for you.
This is my thing is that's why how I feel about with props.
Oh, here we go.
For sure.
Like, Let's hear it.
No, I'm not going to give it to you because you don't need it. You look so pretty on your own. I'll put a filter on you.
to make you look prettier.
So if a client is asking you for props, you tell them you're wrong?
I will say no.
But how exactly do you say it? Because that's a thing too, right?
I'm so sorry. We discontinue props May of 2016. It is in my contract.
That's it?
That's it.
There's no reason. There's no why.
Nope. If they ask me, I'll say, well, you know, we had a lot of stuff like that was just like destroyed and, you know, stuff that gets, you know, damaged or it smells or no matter how much Febreze you put on it or whatever. I had someone text or email me say, oh, how often do you sanitize your props? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, that's happening.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that one.
But think about it. Like, that's something that sets me apart. That's just my differentiator. Sound it out, Ryan.
It's also a move of confidence, right? So a confident company like Apple can say, I don't care what you guys want. We're taking out the CD drive of the laptop. Deal with it. You're operating from more of a position of power, and a lot of customers may respect that. So if Ryan tells a customer, we don't do props, it's not necessarily that you don't like props. It's just that you think it's a better service, right? So you're doing it from the customer's point of view. You're doing what's better for them. So I think the whole delicate balance here is that I don't think the customer is always right. And I think if you build a business that way, it'll hurt your business. It's just how the balance of how you communicate it and how you handle yourself, I think, is what you have to keep in mind.
So go to our Facebook group and tell us what you think about this episode. Do you think that the customer is always right? Go to facebook.com/groups/superbusiness.
Examples, please. Tell us examples.
And pictures. We need this.